You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on October 27th, 2022. And this is the last episode for the month of October, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. Instead of focusing on just one story or topic, we're going to briefly talk about a few different stories from the news this month. So this week, we're talking about what happens to your body when you stop drinking alcohol. The number of women who were raped and regretted the decision to have an abortion, and bring your Bible to school day. For links to these stories, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/10/27/22. Now for our stories this week. First story, what happens to your body when you stop drinking? From Fatherly. And before I read the excerpt here, note that this article is written from the perspective of someone who believes that drinking alcohol in moderation is, what they say, mostly fine. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I'll have links in the show notes to a couple of articles that talk about what the Bible teaches about alcohol, particularly the casual use of alcohol, what we sometimes refer to as social drinking. However, one interesting thing about this story is that even though the author believes it is, quote, mostly fine to drink alcohol in moderation, there's still an understanding that there are negative consequences that come from drinking even without proceeding to drunkenness, which harmonizes with the other things the Bible teaches about alcohol. So after claiming that drinking in moderation is, quote, mostly fine, the author says this. The problem lies in the fact that it's surprisingly easy to exceed what the experts call moderate drinking. For men, imbibing 15 or more drinks per week renders them a heavy or problem drinker. For women, it takes just 12 or more a week to enter the trouble zone. Now, having that many drinks over the course of 7 days doesn't mean you're an alcoholic, though it can put you at risk of developing a dependency. It does, however, take a toll on your health. Alcohol is non-discriminatory. It affects the entire body, says Mita Johnson, an addiction educator and president of NAADAC, the Association of Addiction Professionals. It slows down systems, causing them to work harder than they need to, and that's what becomes problematic. Some of the downsides of heavy drinking are painfully obvious: low energy, morning headaches, and expanding waistline, to name a few. Others are subtler but potentially more harmful, such as high blood pressure, unhealthy cholesterol levels, liver damage, and heightened risk of heart disease, diabetes, and several cancers. Just because you're not feeling something doesn't mean something is not happening in your body, Johnson says. The good news is that these negative effects are reversible. By cutting out booze, you can score more get up and go, more patience with your kids, a clearer head, and much better health overall. And it doesn't take long to reap the benefits. Although each person's experience will be unique, here's a general timeline of what happens when heavy drinkers give it a rest. And if you're curious about the timeline, you can check out the link in the show notes. It's not my intention to get into that timeline here, but there are two things that I wanted to note from that story. First is that alcohol has a negative impact on our physical well-being. Remember the warning given by the wise man in Proverbs 23, 29, and 30. Where he said, who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaining, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. Physically, emotionally, socially, all of these different ways that alcohol affects us are listed by the wise man there in those verses. And so he says, you avoid this. Don't look at the wine when it is red. Because if you give yourself over to this, these are the consequences. Also remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. He said, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So our body is a temple of the Spirit. We are to care for this because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. So besides what the Bible teaches regarding the need to avoid alcohol from a standpoint of morality or righteousness or holiness, which is all important, there's also this aspect that it's just not good for us to be regularly consuming alcohol. And the second point is that, as the article stated, these negative effects are reversible. So on the one hand, when we sin, we need to repent even if the consequences in this life are not reversible. Paul said in Acts 17:30 and 31 that, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." When he says that God is declaring that all people everywhere should repent, the reason wasn't so that their lives would improve here. Now, for some sins, that may happen. Our lives may improve here when we give up the sin. But the point was, you do this so that you're ready for judgment. He's fixed a day in which he will judge the world. So whether there's a reversible consequence or not, we still need to repent of our sin. However, those who have given themselves over to this particular sin do have the potential of avoiding some of these negative consequences. And even the author, who started the article by saying that alcohol in moderation is, quote, mostly fine, the author said that to reverse these negative effects requires one to cut out alcohol, not cut down on it. So again, this particular article is really more about the physical consequences than the spiritual ones. But this is good information for us to have when talking to those in the world to show that following the Bible is not only right, but it's also for our good. The second story. Survey shows 80% of women who were raped and had abortions regretted their decision. From Life News, misplaced compassion often compels people to support abortion in cases of rape. But aborting an unborn baby does nothing to heal the mother from the horrific abuse that she suffered, often the opposite, according to research. Ending the life of a preborn human being, regardless of how she was conceived, does not address the crime of her father and does not improve the primary victim's mental health outcomes, said Dr. Christina Francis, an Indiana OBGYN and CEO-elect of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Francis highlighted a survey by the Elliott Institute that found between 50% and 80% of women who conceived unborn babies from rape chose to carry that baby to term. Additionally, 80% of rape victims who had abortions later regretted their decision, the survey found. Some women said their abortion felt like a second medical rape and only added to their trauma. Many people assume that by getting rid of the preborn child, a potential reminder of the rape, the mother will be able to move past that trauma faster and easier, Francis continued. However, abortion is not and has never been a mental health treatment for rape. Many who want to defend the so-called right of abortion use cases of rape to justify the practice. And on one hand, we could point to the fact that these cases amount to a small fraction of the number of abortions performed. But besides that, we can point to studies like this one that show that the so-called help that the abortion was supposed to provide these victims of rape actually made their situation worse. The Bible uses the mother as a chief example of love, affection, and care. Paul told the brethren in Thessalonica that we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you that we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8. So even in the case where you have a victim of a tragic event like this, I believe that women still, in general, have this natural desire, which is the reason for these survey results. This is why these women regretted having these abortions. They knew that the child deserved love and care and that she could provide that, even though the circumstances that led to her conception were awful. But this leads to regret, as 80% of those who had an abortion following rape, that they experienced regret. It leads to this regret among these women. So after an event like this, the victims need the best care and help possible. And abortion will never be what they need in that circumstance. Then the third story. October 6th is Bring Your Bible to School Day. From Christian Headlines, and before we get to the excerpt, let me just make one quick comment that this story was published on October 5th. So when it talks about tomorrow and what will be happening, this has already taken place. But I didn't see this story until after this event happened. Actually, it was just this week that I saw this story. So I'm sharing it here just briefly, because there's some things that I want to consider about it. But to the excerpt from the story. Tomorrow, October 6th, is the third annual Bring Your Bible to School Day, and students around the country will be using their Bibles as opportunities to start conversations about faith. Mission Network News notes that in a culture that often restricts religious freedom, Bring Your Bible to School Day offers an opportunity for students to boldly share their Christian faith. This year, around 300,000 students will be participating in the event. Now, when I saw this, and again, this was after the fact, this was supposedly happened on October 6th. I didn't see this story until this week. I don't know if it happened or how successful it was or anything like that. But so we think about the concept of something like this and the fact that 300,000 students pledged to participate in this. Part of me wants to say that this is a great thing. You have all of these kids who are bringing their Bibles to school. Look at all the good that could be done from that. Then another part of me says, why are we giving kids the impression that there is one day for them to bring their Bible to school? I don't want to criticize anyone for bringing a Bible to school or to work or to anywhere else. However, if we recognize that it's important, then we should have it with us regularly. We shouldn't need some special day to bring our Bible to wherever we're going. If it's important, and if we believe that we have an opportunity to share our faith or teach others or things like that, that's not just for one day. We will never know when an opportunity is going to arise. So even though Bring Your Bible to School Day is passed, if you're a student, or if you know someone who is a student who maybe they thought this would have been a good idea and maybe they didn't participate in it or didn't know about it, they can still bring their Bible to school. They don't have to wait until next year. They don't have to wait till the day that some group tells them, like, hey, this is the day to bring your Bible to school. You can bring your Bible to school. You can bring your Bible to work. You can bring your Bible anywhere that you are going. So rather than saying that, well, we need to organize this day to encourage all of these people to bring their Bibles, we can encourage people to do that, but we don't need a day to do it. We just need to have the Word of God and be ready and willing to teach the Word of God whenever those opportunities arise, no matter when or where they might be. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the news stories that we've talked about, as well as other relevant links, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/102722. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who'd be interested in hearing this episode, or maybe interested in just the podcast in general, please share this with them. I would appreciate that. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion or some topic that you think would be good to address, please send that to me. I'm always open to different ideas for what we can talk about here on the podcast. You can reach me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.